The story behind the song. The torrid days of the Reformation of the 16th century, Geneva, Switzerland became a haven of refuge for those who found it necessary to flee persecution in their own lands, those who sought protection of the more tolerant burghers of the little Alpine town. One of the refugees tells of his first experience.
The most interesting sight is offered in the city on weekdays when the hour for service approaches. As soon as the first sound of the bell is heard, all shops are closed. Conversation ceases, business is put to one side, and from all parts, the people hasten to the nearest church. Arrived there, each one draws from his pocket a small book, which contains the psalms with some notes, and thus the congregation sings before and after the sermon, while everyone testifies how great consolation is derived from this custom.
Here then were men, women, and children banded together for mutual worship, standing bareheaded and reverent within sight of azure-hued Lake Geneva, surrounded by the spires of God's Cathedral, the Alps, singing their praises to the divine being for the first time in the history of the world, unafraid, without constant fear of persecution. The outstanding leader of this new movement was stern, resolute John Calvin. It was on the 21st day of December in the year 1602, about 40 years after Calvin had passed away in his beloved Geneva, that the burghers of the city were holding a meeting.
Just a moment. Men of Geneva, listen to me. There can be nothing gained by losing our wits. We are men. We are Genevans.
He speaks well indeed.
Our fathers before us have seen and passed through many a crisis fully as dangerous, fully as threatening as this one.
But they were never as unprepared as we are at this moment.
Silence, men, silence! Bern is our sister city. Geneva and Bern have fought side by side down through these turbulent years of our struggle for freedom. If the Duke of Savoy and his Savoyards had been successful in their attempt to recapture Bern, our brothers there would have informed us by this time.
I can only hope and pray to Almighty God that you're right.
If the worst comes, brethren, if the Savoyards do lay low our sister city Bern, if Savoy and his men do approach Geneva, we can call upon our good friend and ally, His Majesty the King of France.
You should know full well the King of France is engaged in a civil war. His hands are full attending his own country. He can have no time for us.
I can only say to you, burghers of Geneva, whatever may be the outcome of these troublous times, we have done our best. If the Savoyards come, let them come. We have withstood siege before. We shall do it again. True, we must be ready. We must stand always prepared for any emergency. But we must imbue the citizens of our city with faith, with hope, with calm serenity in the face of any eventuality, no matter how greatly we may feel apprehension in our own hearts. Amen. Let us go to our homes, brethren, and lead our households in prayer. in humble supplication before God and ask his help and guidance. Father in heaven, if in thine omnipotent wisdom thou dost deem it good to guide us aright in this, our hour of great need, if our enemies do strike at the gates of our beloved city, I beseech thee, O God, come to our rescue. Bring thou the hosts of heaven to our aid. I ask it in thy name, and in the name of the women and children and old men who live within these walls, and who trust with all their hearts in thee. Amen.
As the city slept, just outside one of the principal gates, the Fort Neuve, bracing himself against the bitter wind screaming down from the snow-clad mountainsides as though in protest against the attack, stood the greedy, unscrupulous Duke of Savoy, scanning the seemingly impregnable walls of Geneva.
Your Grace, we can never gain the top of those walls. Oh, they're too high. The burghers are well armed.
Silence. The burghers are sleeping. There's no need to wake them. And the walls... Why else do you think I brought with me 3 scaling ladders? Why do you think I have had them blackened? Once inside the gate, the vanguard will throw open the portcullis, and my army shall march silently into Geneva, and the city shall be mine once more. Have you the scaling ladders? Have them placed at once.
Oh, yes, at once, Your Grace.
The 3 blackened ladders were placed silently against the wall just outside the Port Neuve. And with the stealth of hungry wolves, the Savoyards climbed the rungs to the top of the wall, dropped silently to the small courtyard below. Once inside, the task of raising the portcullis of the gate would be easy, and the rest of the army of Savoy could march in unmolested, take the city while the burghers slept, and the victory would be won. Ah, but the Duke of Savoy reckoned without Madame Royon. Madame Royon lived in small lodgings on the 2nd floor of a building close by the Port Neuve. Was it mere coincidence that upon that bleak night of December 21st, she could not sleep?
Minette. Minette. Wake up, you foolish girl. Wake up, Minette.
Oh. Oh, please, go away. Oh, Madame Royon. What is it?
Quiet, girl. If my eyes do not deceive me, we are in grave danger. We and all Genevans.
Danger? What do you mean, madame? What danger?
But my eyes may deceive me. They are not as good as they once were. Not as clear as yours. Look out of that window, Minette.
Yes?
Take care your face is not seen. Tell me what you see.
Why, I see men climbing over the wall. They drop one by one into the courtyard. Madame, they are not men of Geneva. Their uniforms
are red and green.
Yes. Yes. They are Savoyards. Oh!
Quiet, girl. The city can yet be saved, and I am going to do the deed. Now, if you will promise to hold your tongue, if you will not scream, I'll allow you to help me.
Yes. Yes, madame. I promise.
Very well. Come with me. Together we'll carry this great iron pot, the large one, to the window. Come, help me.
The iron pot? But why?
Never mind why. Just help me, that's all I ask.
Yes.
Come on.
Oh,
come on.
It's so heavy. Oh, I...
Now, bring it over.
Yes.
Now. Oh. I can balance the pot on the windowsill. When I give you the word, you open the window quickly.
Yes, madame.
Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Then open the window. Oh. Now help me push this pot to the courtyard.
To arms! Men of Geneva, to arms! The Savoyards are at the gate! To arms!
chest and clutching at the first weapons their hands could reach, the men of Geneva tumbled out of beds and scrambled into the deserted streets. While mothers huddled their children close to hurriedly built fires, praying for victory, white-haired ancients struggled down toward the scene of combat, led by the younger men and followed by eager striplings shouting with joy at the prospect of their first battle. The Duke of Savoy, realizing his great disadvantage, collected his surprised forces, retired in confusion, leaving the few men who were trapped in the little courtyard to their fates. By some miraculous providence, the Genevans, to a man, proceeded directly to the Port Neuf. And it was not long until the small band of Savoyards, pitiably outnumbered, found their munitions running out and surrendered. In righteous exultation, the burghers and the young men of the besieged city marched back into the streets, joined by the women and children and old men, singing with joyous voices one of their favorite psalm hymns. To this day, the citizens of Geneva celebrate December 21st as a public holiday, and street vendors and shops, in commemoration of the bravery and quick wit of Madame Rayum, sell tiny cakes of chocolate formed in the shape of a cast iron pot. And in churches and homes everywhere is heard the inspiring strains of the hymn of thanksgiving, which the Genevans sang upon that dawn more than 300 years ago, the 124th Psalm.